are listening to Talking Hoosier Baseball,
a podcast
by fans from the iubase.com website.
For anyone wanting more information on the Indiana University baseball program.
Welcome. We are recording this on Thursday, November 12th, 2020. I am Carl James, your host this evening. We are welcoming guest freshman right-handed pitcher Casper Clark. Tonight's panel includes stats guru Cassidy Palmer. Now Cass will give us some statistical nuggets on Casper Clark.
Thank you, Carl. As is the case a lot of times with new guys, previous stats can sometimes be a little hit and miss to find them. But I did find some 2017-18 high school stats for Casper, and a few things that stood out. On the mound, he had a 1.49 ERA in, let me double check this, in 47 innings of work, and had on the mound through allowed 11 walks compared to 46 strikeouts. That's a pretty big difference right there. That's always good to see. And had a .221 opponent batting average. And then on the at the plate, he was actually .338 with two home runs, four doubles, and just 16 strikeouts. So that's, again, that's always good to see. So Casper, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Casper, your freshman year with Columbus North, you closed out the win, sending your team to semi-state. Besides the dog pile, what are your some of your favorite memories from playing high school baseball?
High school baseball was incredible for me. I didn't start out living in Columbus, and then, but I kind of knew all the guys. I'd played travel ball in Columbus. It just seemed like the right fit for me. And my mentor kind of helped me out starting there was Cooper Trinkle, who now is a Hoosier. So just being around all the guys that I'll probably end up being friends with for the rest of my life, just playing with them every day, it was amazing. My favorite moments, I would say, definitely winning against our crosstown rival, Columbus East, in sectionals my freshman year. I had the ability to close that out, and then I threw a complete game in the sectional championship. And then we took it all the way to semi-state. That was pretty awesome. Junior year, sophomore year, did pretty well in Louisville for the Super Prep. Got to play a lot of young talent. We played a player named Dalen Lyle, who was committed here, now going to Louisville. Probably one of the best bats I've ever seen. So it's good competition in high school, and I'm thankful for that because it helped me kind of build a name and reputation to get into college.
You also played basketball while you were at Columbus North. What can you tell us about that?
Basketball was always just kind of like a breath of fresh air from baseball, I guess you could call it. Baseball took really seriously and kind of was like a big deal to me. And then basketball, when I played it, it was just kind of to have fun and be around more of my classmates, my teammates. Senior year, we ended up being way better than we thought we would be. And so I was able to just have a good time and compete, and it kind of helped my competitive carry into the summer, which I wouldn't have had if I didn't play it. So,
On the baseball side, did you always want to be a pitcher? And what led to you deciding that the mound was for you?
Well, I used to be a hitter predominantly when I was younger. I struggled on the mound. I walked a lot of people, a lot of hit batters. I was kind of just, I didn't have the right mentality for it. But at the plate, I did a great job of just hitting the ball hard. That's really because I was way bigger than a lot of the kids. I would hit the ball real far. I didn't hit it very often sometimes, but I hit it hard. And I kind of just was able to be enough for me to continue to be in lineups in high school and up until travel ball at like 14, 15 U. But then pitching became what I fell in love with and what I kind of found skill in. and was the easiest way for my competitive side to come out and be able to use that to my advantage against hitters. So.
And who's helped you develop the most as a pitcher?
I mean, there's a lot to be said about all the coaches that I've had, but the players that I've played with meant a lot. In high school, you know, I had a player that I worked with closely named Parker Maddox, and he was a big deal to me. He was also committed to IU, and now he goes to a college in Iowa. But we you know, competed against each other, made each other better. We were always fighting to be like the best on the staff. And to be honest with you, I think he really made me excel, made me want to be better than I thought I would be. So.
You first pitched at the BART when you were with the Canes. How was your experience playing with them?
Oh, it was awesome. Playing with the Canes was great. The coaches were different than any coaches I'd really had before that. They mainly focused on just player development. They didn't really, you know, if you were struggling, they wouldn't have to work with you on your mechanics for however long. They would mainly focus on kind of how you handled it and how you came back. And kind of not only player development, but development as like a man and dealing with adversity on the field and things like that. So they really shaped me up in that way. And then playing with a lot of the best talent in the Midwest area of the country for my age group also was great, because it felt like it brought you a certain level of comfort to be on the mound surrounded by guys. The lineup was good.
You joined Team Indiana at the WWBA Championships in Jupiter. How was that event?
That was a different experience. That's, you know, going down to Florida and just kind of a little bit out of the norm, and then playing with, again, some of the best talent, in Indiana, and a couple of my, you know, current teammates here, you know, Kip Fugers, Costa Cerrones. Like, we had a really good team, a lot of talent, and it was pretty intimidating. There was a lot of golf carts, a lot of just pro scouts that you see walking around, and you're like, man, they've been doing this for years. So I would really have to do something, you know, extraordinary to hit their radar. And just kind of having that pressure and using that as, you know, adrenaline and help on the mound to kind of go out there and compete at the highest level. That was a different animal, and I enjoyed it.
So, Casper, you pitched in the Grand Park Summer League. Was summer ball originally in the game plan for you, or was that mostly due to COVID?
You know, I thought I would get on campus in the summer and start getting to work immediately. So that was originally my intention, but baseball was definitely in the equation. I didn't know, you know, what that would entail. And then the summer league came up, and at first it seemed like, you know, how legit is this league going to be? And then, you know, you got some early guys coming in that are big names and big competitive, you know, faces. And so it was like, all right, well, this is going to be good for me to continue to face really good hitting and test myself on the mound. So it was an easy decision. And then I'm glad I did it, because playing with some of those guys that, you know, had either been to a Division I school and then chose something else, or had been to junior college and made it to Division I, and all their perspectives on the game and kind of how to go about certain things really, I feel like, helped me and helped me understand the game better.
And it probably varied a bit from a typical summer league, in which there's kind of tiers to these summer leagues. And here it's, you throw a whole bunch of different levels of talent together, including guys who could have been playing at the highest summer levels right here locally.
Yep. Yeah, that was pretty cool to see some of the guys that, you know, I've either watched and seen them on TV before playing college baseball, or just, you know, seen them on Twitter or clips of them on a social media page for baseball, you know, like Tommy Summer. I really was like excited to play at IU with Tommy. I've, you know, heard a lot about him. I've seen him play. And then for him to be, you know, on the same fields as me at sometimes, I was like, man, that's awesome.
So who have you learned from the most player-wise since you've gotten to Bloomington?
It's tough. That's tough because it's really, it probably sounds cliche, but like I couldn't have asked for a better, you know, upper class coming here, because they really, like, every single guy wants, they've all been through it. And it's not like a, you know, I already did that, so he has to go through the same thing. You're like, you know what, I want to help him and help him be better. Braden Scott is my lifting partner, and we, you know, we throw, we play catch every once in a while. He talks to me about mechanics. He talks to me about the mental details of pitching. Matt Litwicky is another one. It's really great to talk to Matt because he's kind of a straight shooter when it comes to that stuff. So anytime I am struggling or like I don't understand something, I'll ask him, because he's not going to beat around the bush or sugarcoat it. He'll just be like, hey, this is how it is. This is where you need to be, and this is how you get there. Another one, you know, Tommy. Tommy's great for that. Tommy is, you know, very meticulous about how he goes about his work. So is Ty Bothwell. Both of them are, like, if you're looking for preparation and, like, how to do everything leading up to where you throw to be great, like, those are the guys to look at. Ty keeps a journal of everything he does all week, and he's just got notebooks full of it. It's incredible, his level of dedication. McCade Brown is another one. McCade in height is similar to me, a little bit different body type, but he has to deal with some of the same things with, you know, your arm might get out a little longer because your arms are longer. Like, you have to be more precise because of how long your body is. And so to talk to him about some of that stuff and how he controls it is really good. So I can't really narrow it down to one guy. Everybody's really great about helping me out and giving me tips and whatnot. So that's what I would have to say about that.
What has been the hardest adjustment for you so far?
I would say partially time management off the field, just being, you know, away from home and not having mom and dad to do a lot of things for me, and just kind of having to take the initiative on my own. And I'd say on the field or in the weight room or whatever it may be, workouts, is kind of just moving at a faster pace mentally, because a lot of these guys have either been doing these things since high school or they've learned it before I got here. So they all kind of know what they're doing, and then they move at a faster clip than I do. So it's like, oh, well, to be at that speed, then I need to learn faster. So that was a tough adjustment at first, but I think I'm starting to get the hang of it. So
what kind of exposure did you have to analytics technology before you came to campus?
Just a radar gun, just velocity, you know, all this stuff was, you know, just totally foreign to me before I got here. And if Coach Parker would send me texts about, you know, the Grand Park, they have those metrics. And so he would be like, hey, I saw it was this and this today. And I'd be like, I don't really know what that means, to be honest. I don't know if that's good or bad. If you're congratulating me or chastising me, I have no clue. So now I have a better idea of that.
Is there any part of it that's kind of piqued your interest in particular?
Yeah, I'd say the rotations per minute, the RPMs, like that just blew my mind. Cause when you see it, you're like, cause I have a, you know, particularly low RPM, like spin rate on a ball, compared to like your Connor Manises and your McCade Browns that spin the ball at like 24, 2500 on their fastballs. And I'm spinning it anywhere from, you know, 1850 to 2200. 2200 being the best. And, and then you have like trajectory of the ball, how that affects the spin, like the plane that the ball travels on, like that just blew my mind. So now when we talk about that, in a bullpen, we have with the Rapsodo technology to tell us all that stuff, and you get live feedback per pitch, and he'll be like, hey, hold the ball this way. And I throw it and it adds another 500 on my spin rate. And I'm just like, wow, like that's crazy.
So switching more to the other side of college, what's the experience been like starting your college academic experience during a pandemic?
It's all I know, really, but from what I've heard from other people, it's a lot different. Obviously, you know, I don't have any in-person classes. I know some people have one or two, maybe. I don't have any, but you know, two times I guess, four times a week, two different classes. I have 9:25 Zoom class, and then I have two other classes or three other classes that aren't on Zoom that you just have to do electronically. So not really meeting any of the professors or classmates. It's just kind of weird. And they put us in groups and we work on projects together, but we don't really know each other. It's different, but I mean, it's not that bad at the end of the day. I still get to, you know, stay in the comfort of my bed in class. So that's pretty nice.
Do you have a major in mind yet?
Currently I'm in sports marketing and management. I don't really see that changing unless, you know, something piques my interest a lot more, you know, whether that's like business or just management, like general. We'll see.
And what would a good spring look like for you this year?
Ideally, with all the work that I have and that I will continue to put in, just, you know, having a meaningful impact on the pitching staff and for the team this year. No matter how many innings that is, that doesn't really like matter to me as much. I would like to get as many as possible, but wherever they see me fit in and whatever my role is this year, I'd be more than happy to fill it and just, you know, have positive impact on the team.
And have you given any thought to what a life after baseball would look like?
You know, that's a tough one. It's hard to, you know, reach that far out. And, you know, having answered that question before with other people, it's always kind of just been the same. Like, I really hope baseball works out. But if it doesn't, you know, I feel like anything communicating with people, talking to people, helping, I'm not sure what that entails yet or what, you know, my availability will be depending on my major and kind of what is open when I get out into the real world. But I would like to do something where I'm not just sitting like bored out of my mind all day. I would like to be around talking to people, interacting.
So are there any MLB guys that you like to watch, learn from, kind of model your game after?
I watch a lot of, just because I'm a Cubs fan really, and I watch a lot of Yu Darvish, but we don't have similar body types at all. I really like kind of his presence on the mound, how he controls pitches, and he doesn't ever really seem like he's pitching defensively. He always seems like he's on the attack, so I like that side. But as far as like body type mechanics wise, Tyler Glasnow for the Rays, I watched a lot of his, and Coach Parker and I go over his film because it's similar to what he did to start out when he got in the major leagues with the Pirates. His mechanics were very similar to what mine are now, but you know, he was 6'8", whatever, with an ability to throw a baseball incredibly hard. So he was in the professionals, and he switched it over to what I would like to be at and what Coach Parker would like me to be at. And so I watch a lot of Tyler Glasnow, and I really like everything about him and how he pitches. So if I had to pick one, he would be it.
So have you just been kind of working on improving the pitches that you have, or have you been trying to add a pitch to your mix?
I used to throw like a spiked curveball a long time ago, just for arm health, more of like the grip, doing a lot of the movement, less of the arm, because I was younger and they were like, you know, you don't really need to overuse a curveball when you're younger, you know, stay healthy. But just recently, it was actually, you know, probably like 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was throwing my bullpen and Coach Parker was like, hey, why don't we try out like a spike curve? He goes, do you throw that? And I was like, I used to. I would love to start throwing it again. So I threw it a couple of times and it looked good. And then I used it in the World Series that we just played in, and it struck out like 3 or 4 hitters in a couple appearances. So I could definitely see that being part of the repertoire to keep going on and just keep building off that. But I definitely think the main focus has been getting my other pitches better.
Okay. All right. Was there any other topics you wanted to bring up that we haven't gotten to?
Well, I'm kind of interested to see, like, what do you guys, like, do you guys love to see more of players, like the way the team interacts with each other, like just outside of baseball analytics, that kind of stuff. If you're watching the boys play baseball during the season, what's your favorite thing to see? Is it really just how well they play baseball, or do you really love to see kind of just like as a unit, as a family, like the way they all go about it and move as one? Because I know that a couple of years ago or a few years ago, you see some teams and you're like, man, they don't really look like they're like a well-oiled machine. You know, they kind of look like they're a bunch of like A-types playing the same sport. And then you look at teams like the recent, you know, IU team that won the Big Ten, and they all look like, you know, a whole team, one goal, and they gelled really well together. And outside the game, they were, you know, really good friends. Like, is that, do you like to see, you know, a lot of like talent on the field necessarily? Do you like to see like a lot of just well-played baseball together?
I would say more of the latter. And, you know, we look at the experience that, you know, we're obviously an interesting group of college baseball fans, because your typical college baseball fans are going to be, you know, typically in like, you know, warm weather places. Mm-hmm. And so much of the fandom in college baseball tends to be more in the South, mm-hmm. Even more so than like the West. There really isn't, you know, huge college baseball fandom out West. But, you know, we know that there are plenty of baseball fans in the Midwest, and you know, it was you have to say, you know, it was really fortuitous that Indiana developed a really good talent level, you know, at the same time they basically built the ballpark. So you put those two things together, and suddenly you've got, you know, you go from, you know, essentially what's basically a high school field, to
worse than
to a, you know, one of the better college baseball facilities, and you've got a lot of talent. So, you know, I'd say at first, because that's about when I started coming to the field, you know, I was, you know, at first drawn by, hey, just a chance to watch, you know, baseball at a fairly high level. I don't really get a chance to go. Most of my Major League Baseball watching is on television, not in person. Right. So a chance to go to in person, watch the game. And then when you do that, you start to see that, you start to see how the team is interacting. And then, you know, unlike a lot of other sports, you know, you get the opportunity to actually find out, you know, and using social media, you find out what the personalities are like, how the team works together. And, you know, I think the thing that I thought about just talking in this interview, you're talking about, you know, looking up to guys like Tommy Summer, you know, and, you know, I remember, you know, when Tommy Summer was in your shoes, mm-hmm. and that wasn't, you know, to me that all that long ago.
No.
So that whole process is fascinating, watching someone come in and be the young guy fighting for playing time, and then the fact that you know, someone who is you know, who is as talented as you is talking about looking up to a guy like him,
right?
And that just see that constantly progressing and moving, mm-hmm. and even going through, you know, multiple coaching staffs, that it's the players that have kept the program going, and in mm-hmm. fact continuing to excel. Yep. The team had huge successes both years after the coaching changes. So,
yeah. And I think that's that. I mean, not only the players, but big credit to the coaches. You know, it was a little tough right after the old coaches left. That's who originally mm-hmm. recruited me. Mm-hmm. So, didn't get a call yet from the new coaches. It was kind of worrisome. And then there were other guys that they were calling, and they were like, hey, you know, you're not necessarily the direction that we're looking to, whatever it was, you know, mm-hmm. and it was just like, oh, I'm in the hot seat now. I'm a little worried. And mm-hmm. I was younger. I was still a junior when that was going on. So I wasn't like next up that they had to talk to. Then I got the call, and I talked to Coach Mercer and then Coach Parker, and, you know, they're great guys, and they really kick it up a notch. Every once in a while, they do have they're a little younger, and they're a little more energetic than some of the guys that I played for. And you can see it in their love and passion for the game, and not only the game, but like just being a part of the family. I guess, I mean, that's essentially what we are, and you call it with the guys. And them just being so energetic every day to come out and not only do their job, but have fun and enable everybody else to have fun while they're doing theirs is incredible. And then the guys, you know, I was hoping coming here, being an IU fan for all sports and just the school in general my whole life, I was like, I really hope there's nothing when I get there that's just going to absolutely shoot down my spirit for wanting to be a Hoosier.
Right.
And it elevated my spirit of coming here, just being around all these guys. It's fantastic. All the guys that you see on TV, and you're exactly right. You see them on TV and you kind of have a sense of really just how they play baseball and just whatever. And then you see them in person, and now, you know, being around them more hours a day than I'm around anybody else, you know, I feel like I know some of them better than I know myself. Every once in a while, I'll know something about them that is really just has nothing to do with baseball. Mm-hmm. And just building those relationships with those guys, like, it's a great feeling to have that. In all age groups, you know, by my class, we're real close. We hang out. The grade above me, you know, you got your Brian Gaffney's, Zach Behrman's technically my age, but he came here early. Reese Sharp, you know, John Madunia, like all those guys, David Platt, they're great. So I couldn't have asked for anything better with all that. I'm very happy with how it went.
Yeah, and I know on my end, one of the ways I can tell that the team is gelling and that the team is where they want to be, that they're playing at the level they want to play at, is some of the most simple stuff, like dugout antics a little bit, like seeing them goofing behind coach a little bit. That was some of when the Tracy Smith era team was playing at its best, they were doing the goofiest stuff behind him during interviews, and he was throwing it right back at them. They were all so comfortable with each other, and they were so comfortable with letting the public in on that, which I found so interesting. At least partially because Casey Smith was big into videography, and so that they were putting out all of these funny little team things that were kind of sometimes inside jokes or just goofy, Kyle Schwarber as a roommate and just the whole thing on that. And that was when you could tell that the team was really gelling and that they were playing their best ball on the field because they were so loose. And that was always really cool to see.
I could definitely see that being this team. Once again, because the coaches, the way they go about it, you know, they're definitely, a tough when it needs to be. And that's, I can see it. You know, usually when a coach is hard on you, you're like, man, I don't know why this is happening. You know, we're in the fall, like it's whatever. But when they really explain it out, because they're like, hey fellas, we are dying to have a great time. Like, we want to just, you know, all gas, no breaks, go out there and play baseball and then have a great time and be best friends afterwards. We would love that. But right now, this is where you build that foundation. This is where you build that relationship. This is where you build that trust. We're going to start out with that, and that's how it's going to be. And then we're just going to have a great time because of how hard we worked together. So I'm excited for the spring. I can't wait.
Yes. Yes. Hopefully some fans get to come in.
I hope so.
Knock COVID down a bit and make that a possibility.
Excellent. All right. Well, that will do it for this edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Casper, it was great to have you on. Chris Feeney wrote several of tonight's questions, and Josh Bennett handled our scheduling. You can read up on Indiana Baseball at iubase.com. Follow us on Twitter at CUAtTheBart and at iubase17. On Instagram, we are IUBase, and subscribe to the Talking Hoosier Baseball channel on YouTube, which features these video podcasts, some game clips, game day media availabilities, and more. For Cassidy Palmer and Casper Clark, I am Carl James. See you at the BART.